The fruit of the Spirit is patience, we talked about last week. And I'm not sure if I'm going to go through all nine, but today the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Let's talk about peace today. Looking at the scriptures in John 14 through 16. As I start, I'm choosing two stories from the life of Jesus to serve as an introduction to our thoughts today. And the first one is found in Mark chapter 4, 35 through 31. Now, some of the verses today we're going to read. Many of them I'm just going to let them scroll behind me, and you can take note of where they are. But this is that story of when Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake," he was speaking. And let's keep her going there. And so leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, and just as he was in the boat. And there were other also boats with him. And so furious, while they were in the boat, a furious squall. That's quite a little description, isn't it? And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I don't know if any of you have been on a large lake and you immediately, you can feel what was feeling they were feeling, but I'm sure there was something of terror. But Jesus was in the stern sleeping, and the disciples woke him with this great question, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now there's a whole lesson in that, the way that we react to significant trials, and here's one of them, "Don't you care?" Well, of course Jesus cared, but that's what they were feeling. And so he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. I hope you notice in our how our scripture goes along with that one song we sang, "The wind and waves still know his voice." We can take heart in that. Gary Smalley does a fun, in his, one of his teachings, does something fun with this passage. He says, you know, if the disciples really understood the authority of Christ, they could have been having a riot in that storm. They could have been swinging from the mast. They could have been doing slip and slide down the deck, because Jesus hadn't said, "Let's go out to the middle of the sea and drown." He had said, "Let's go to the other side." And if they understood his authority, they could have known and been enjoying the event that they were going to the other side. One thing that strikes me in this passage, the very last verse, it says that before they were afraid, but now they were terrified. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." That's a, I think that's an interesting contrast. Afraid of the storm, but terrified that there was someone in their boat who controlled the storm. The second story that I want us to think about is Matthew 14, 22 and 33. And this is when Jesus was alone praying. And the disciples, again, he had told them to go ahead of him to the other side. And he immediately, Jesus had the disciples go. And after he dismissed them, he went to pray. And he was there later alone that night. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, and against its being buffeted by the waves, their disciples are having to roll against it. And so Jesus went out to them, and this is the place where he goes out walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, of course, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And then Peter makes what I think is one of the most impulsive foot-in-the-mouth statements in all of the Bible. He says, "Well, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, friends, I could think of a lot of other things I might have said. Like, "If it's you, do a miracle. You know, quiet the storm. Give us a boatload of fish. Quote the Hebrew Old Testament backwards. Something, but not tell me to come and join you." But that was what Peter says. And so Jesus simply says, "Come." And we know how Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water. He came towards Jesus. He actually was walking on the water. But then it says he saw the wind, and he was afraid. And when he saw the circumstances around him, he began to sink. And Jesus caught him, said, "You of little faith." If he had little faith, then minuscule must have been the faith that the guys in the boat still had, right? Why did you doubt? And this is a great story. When he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, we know the application of this story. It's well made. It's simple. It's often heard in a message about the importance of keeping our eyes on Jesus and not looking at the circumstances around us. And that when Peter did that, when his eyes were on the Lord, he was able to walk in faith. When he started to look at the circumstances, they beat him up and he began to sink. And so here we have Jesus again saying, "Don't be afraid, don't worry, don't be troubled, I'm with you." And friends, we preach this often, we say it during this pandemic and the struggles that are going around us. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we'll have peace, we'll have faith, we'll have courage. But when our eyes get drawn to the circumstances of life, it will produce worry and fear and be troubled. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 summarizes this truth very well. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace," perfect peace, "those whose minds are steadfast." I like the old King James Version, "those whose minds are stayed, fixed on you." God will keep them in perfect peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. Well, it's not hard to see why we need this message this morning, is it? All around us are troubling circumstances. COVID continues without any sign of letup. This unusual virus from the Far East that caught up with us in March, we wondered what we would do if it disrupted April's Easter service. And surely by summer it would have come and gone. And now it is here unrelenting. The political debates, I should immediately say the angry political debates, the social unrest between races and economic groups. On a personal level, there's all sorts of troubling circumstances. Some of you who are trying to figure out schooling for your children while you still carry out a job. There's been loss of income. Some businesses have closed. Masks are bothersome for some and unreasonable for others. The future is uncertain for many. Maybe the isolation has taken an emotional toll and affected your mental health. Aging creates its own set of worries. Is there anything we don't have that we don't worry about? Our safety, our health, finances, relationships, jobs, winter, snow. By the way, Merry Christmas. And then God comes along in the scripture and says, "Don't be afraid. Now don't worry about this. Don't be troubled." Really, friends, is that possible? To live in the midst of all this stuff? And be satisfied that because he is with us, and by keeping our eyes on him, we can have peace. Like all of the fruit of the Spirit, peace is something that you just can't try harder to do. And maybe you've spent a sleepless night, and your mind just racing with turmoil. And you keep telling yourself, "Don't worry about it. Don't be agitated. Just go to sleep and rest. You need your..." Does that work? It doesn't work for any of us. It doesn't help to just try harder. But again, peace is a result of giving attention to some other very important matters. And we're going to look at some of those important matters from John 14 to 16. And so in this passage, sorry, but I'm not going to give you anything new. I just want to reinforce this morning what the Bible is saying over and over, that by keeping our eyes upon Jesus instead of life circumstances, trusting him to be with us in all of his authority and control, that will bring peace to you. So let's go to John 14 through 16. Notice John 14, 1 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So here we have Jesus saying it again. But he adds something in this section, chapter 16, verse 33. And he says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Well, our ears need to perk up. Jesus says, at the end of these three chapters of communicating to them, he says, "I've told you these things so that you may have peace." And we need to say, well, what are the things that he told them in this passage? And that's where, I'm sorry, but it's going to be just the same old, same old. It's about my presence. It's about living and walking in my presence. It's about facing the opposition in your life with me living in you. These same truths, Jesus now gives them in this section, chapter 14 through 16, and he repeats and emphasizes. And so he says these things, "I've told them to you so that you might have peace." Now, remember the setting. I think sometimes we get to feeling like we've really got it bad in our situation. Or maybe we feel like in our generation, wow, it's been over 100 years since the world faced anything like this. We're really going through a big thing here. Let me remind you that no matter how big our situation is, it's not unique to us, and it certainly is not more overwhelming than what the disciples were about to face. Jesus has just washed their feet. They've just had the Last Supper. And after this conversation, they're going to go to the garden where he's betrayed. He'll be taken captive. He'll be tried, falsely accused before Pilate. He'll be beaten a number of times. He'll be mocked. And then he'll be crucified. And after he is dead, he'll be buried. The disciples' world is about to come unraveled. The unthinkable is about to happen. The Messiah. And Jesus was. And he had proved it. And he had convinced them that he was their king. He was the perfect combination of power, authority, and love, and grace. He was the one who had been sent from the Father to bring salvation to the Jews, and he is going to be crucified in a very short time by the Roman soldiers. And on the eve of this disaster and the incredible confusion that it will cause, he says to them, "Don't be troubled." But here are the things that he gives to them and to us today to give us peace. Number one, he says, "I'm not abandoning you. I'm not leaving you as orphans. There is a reason I'm going away. And through the Holy Spirit," here we have it again, "I am with you. I'm with you." We could take a whole major portion of our message to just read how many times in the Bible God appeared in some form, sent an angel, sent a prophet, and the message was the same. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And here he repeats it. He says in chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, "I go to prepare a place for you. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come again and receive you and take you to be with me, that you can also be where I am." In verses 11, 12, he tells them, "I've been doing the works of the Father, but now you will do even greater works than what I have done. Wow. Jesus had done awesome things, and the disciples were to do greater things. Most people, when they read that, agree that we're not talking greater, more spectacular. How much more spectacular than rising people from the dead, Lazarus himself? But more extensive. They were going to take the message in far greater dimensions to all the world. I'm going to be with you, he says, and you're going to do even more than I did. Verses 16 through 18. The Father will give you the Holy Spirit. I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But the Father is going to give them the Holy Spirit, who will be with them forever. In 26 and 27, he describes a little bit about what the Holy Spirit will do. When he comes, he will teach you all things. He'll remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And he repeats that. Don't be afraid. And in 16:13, he adds more to what the Holy Spirit will do. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus says, I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to tell you what I would tell you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why he said the Spirit will receive from me, and he will make it known to you. The Holy Spirit was going to give them, from Jesus and the Father, everything that they needed. And so over and over, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Take courage. It is I. Old Testament and New Testament alike. The antidote to worry is I am with you. So friends, take that list of worries. Take your troubled thoughts. Take your sleepless nights and make them kneel before the King. And say it over and over. God is with me. He has all power. He is in control. He is working a good plan for my life. And then the troubles will come again. And so you'll repeat it. God is with me. He is all power. He's in control. He's working a good plan for my life. You may have to focus on that and say that repeatedly. But when you repeat your worries and focus on your circumstances, it's like Peter about to sink in the water. And when you repeat over and over a focus that God is with you and in control, it will bring peace. It's fear and worry that destroy our peace. We're taken captives by those circumstances. Somehow they get us to thinking that we're alone, and that we're somehow going to face all these things in our capabilities. And that's where we say, no. Jesus said, I am with you. I have the Holy Spirit. And let it give you peace. Now notice 14:27. If we could go back to that just a bit. That was an interesting thought that Jesus said. I do not give to you as the world gives. That's really food for thought, isn't it? And we think a minute, well, how does the world give peace? And most often, I suppose the answer I would give to that is that the world connects peace with financial security. Or you're at peace if the right political party is in your power. Let me say to you, you can still have peace on November 5th. Unless your peace is in who's in political power. I think the world connects peace with favorable circumstances when everything is going good in our life. Have you ever wondered when the next shoe was going to fall? What are we talking about there? We've had a series of bad news. It's very troubling. And we're anxious because we think that something else is on the horizon. We're caught up in our circumstances. And so this message today is that the peace of Jesus is found in his presence. I'm not going to desert you. You will not be alone. I am sending the Holy Spirit. I will be with you. The second thing that he talks about in these three chapters is his invitation to dwell in him, to live in him. If there is peace in his presence, then the obvious is we need to spend time in his presence. You know, sometimes you will say to people, well, did you pray about it? And they'll say, yeah. And the more I prayed, the worrier I got. Well, sometimes in prayer, people just rehearse their problems. And that kind of praying won't do you a lot of good. But when prayer is a means of entering his presence and rediscovering who he is, enjoying who he is, focusing on who he is, that kind of remaining in Christ and let him remain in you, Jesus says, will produce much peace. It's not enough just to know this intellectually. Let's read this passage. Sometimes we read them and we say, well, I know the answer to that question like it's a test. God is with us. But somehow we have to learn to practice this truth. We talk about practicing the presence of God. Well, that's what he's saying in John 15, 1-4. I'm the true vine. He makes this comparison of being the vine, and my Father's the gardener, and you're the branches. And he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear any fruit, and every branch that does, he prunes so it'll be more faithful. He uses this gardening metaphor. He says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to. And then he says the obvious. Remain in you as I remain, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. A couple years ago, we had a huge apple crop coming and a big storm, and that branch with all those potential, with those blossoms and potential, broke under the weight. And you know, after the branch broke off the tree, surprise, we didn't get any fruit. You see, we all know this intellectually, that the branch has to remain on the tree with the life of the vine flowing through it, or it doesn't do any good. And you can know all about peace and the presence of God, but unless you and I stay attached, stay in fellowship, stay in communion throughout the day, many times a day, not a quick prayer as you go off to work, but all through the day, bringing your thoughts towards him so that you're living consciously, actively in his presence. To do that, I've tried to give you over the years this little acronym. It looks like World War III, but it's WWLLL. And I say it to myself also. God is always with me. He's always working. Therefore, I'm listening for his voice. I'm looking for his deeds. And I'm always loving him. And as I say that, and as I remind myself that he's with me and he's working, and I start to look for the things that he's doing, and I start to listen for what he might be saying, and I express my love to him, I find that my faith is stronger and I have more peace. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of living and remaining and walking like this with Jesus, is peace. You might even let worry and fear trigger this. Because again, if you're like me, you forget these incredible messages. I forget what I preached, and you certainly forget what I preached. And so maybe you could let fear and worry, the presence of it, trigger your need to be aware of his presence. And every time some thought is taking you down a path of worry, you could say, aha, World War III, God is with me. He's always at work. So I'm to listen, I'm to look, and I'm to express my love to him. And that worry and fear could actually be a trigger. You know the way our minds work? If something sparks another thought, and we dwell on that long enough, and every time it happens, we go there, pretty soon the trigger gets less and less, and the thought that we cultivate grows stronger and stronger. And the third thing that Jesus says to them is that I'm with you. I welcome you to remain in me. And he says, I've overcome the world. John 16:33 is the passage where he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And here's the clarity he declares, in this world you will have trouble. You know, Jesus never taught the prosperity gospel, that if we would just follow him and walk in faith, we would be exempt from pain and suffering. He never taught that. Rather, in this inspirational teaching on faith and his authority and his presence in their life, he readies them for adversity and persecution. He says there's going to be opposition. In verses 18 through 21, he says, they'll hate you because they hated me. They'll persecute you because they persecuted me. It's because of my name. Expect it. Count on it. And he's getting them ready for it. In 16:1-4, he says, when this happens, you'll remember that I warned you. And then in John 16:33, we read it already, these clear words, in the world, you will have trouble, and we do. But take heart, my friend. King James, be of good cheer. I'm greater. I'm in control. I have overcome the world. Jesus on the cross was greater, in control. On the resurrection day, he was overcoming the world. On his ascension, in all the years in between, Jesus is still greater. He's still overcoming. He's still in control. He says to them on this day, I'm telling you some things that'll give you peace. And we've heard them before. It's the consistent theme through the Bible. I'm with you. Live in me. And believe me, when trouble comes, I'll be enough. I'll be sufficient. I have overcome the world. There's an incredible story in the song that we sang today. It is well, and you've known it, but I want to repeat it to you. It's the story. The words come from Horatio Gates Spafford, and the music later written by Philip Bliss. Horatio lived in the 1800s. Much like Job, he placed his trust in God during his life's prosperity, but also during its calamities. He was a devout Christian who immersed himself in scripture and service to God, and many of the years of his life were joyous. He was a prominent Chicago lawyer. His business was thriving. He owned several properties throughout the city. He and his beloved wife had four beautiful daughters and a son. Life was more than good. It was blessed. But faith, no matter how great, does not spare us or Horatio from adversity. Just as Horatio hit the pinnacle of his profession and financial success, things began to change. It began with the tragic loss of their son. And not long after, thereafter, the great Chicago fire destroyed nearly every real estate investment Horatio owned. It was a financial disaster. Just a few years later, in 1873, Horatio decided to treat his wife and daughters to a much-needed escape from the turmoil. He sent them on a boat trip to Europe with plans to join them shortly after wrapping up some business in Chicago. Just a few days later, he received a dreadful telegram from his wife, saved alone. It bore the excruciating news that family ship had wrecked and all four of his daughters had perished. His wife alone had survived. Horatio immediately went to meet his heartbroken wife, and while passing over the same sea that had just claimed the lives of his children, he put his pen to paper, and the timeless hymn was born. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul, my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. The Spaffords went on to serve the Lord in Jerusalem, where Horatio died of malaria in 1888. Famous hymn composer Philip Bliss was so moved by the prose and the story behind it that he composed a peaceful tune to accompany the words, and it was published by Bliss in the year that Bliss died. And when I read this story again, I wept for myself in the church. I think I could say we have suffered so little in our service to the Lord. Certainly, we've not lost our five children. The pandemic has thrown so many off balance. It's thrown me off balance. I hate the mask. I hate trying to do ministry with a mask on. I can't hear people. I can't feel close to them. I don't react well. It has disrupted, and I could say even devastated, many churches. It has certainly disrupted ours. We consider masks and the governor's mandate as persecution. We think it's intolerable. We think our first world problems of closed restaurants, empty sports stadiums, shortage of products at Walmart. Remember the furor when we couldn't get all the toilet paper we thought we needed? We thought that was suffering. Friends, we need to rise above our current events. Compared to what believers have lost in history, and even now in persecuted troubles and persecuted countries, I say to you, our troubles are minuscule in comparison. May God put our eyes back on Him and let us demonstrate peace to a troubled, anxious, fearful world. Father, let these words sink in. May they be spread. May others hear them. May we stop looking at our day as if we are the most troubled people. And may we realize that really this is quite small in comparison to what so many have suffered for the cause of Christ. And let us rise up with Christ present in our lives, walking with Him daily, May we face the trouble around us and overcome it just as surely as Jesus has overcome the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Worship team, please step forward and let's conclude our service.